So last week, I don't think a lot of you were here. I think it was me and Lincoln fighting the good fight up here, right? And my son, Matthew, do you remember what we talked about last week? Okay, he didn't. It's okay. So we'll just kind of do a brief just backup on this, right? So last week, we talked about Pharaoh's dream. He basically had a dream, and he had Joseph interpret it, which talked about the 7 years of being fruitful and the 7 years of famine, and also how he was appointed basically the right-hand man of Pharaoh at this point, right? So what was the meaning of the Pharaoh's dream? And you all remember? Yes. Oh, yeah. I think that was Nebuchadnezzar, if I remember right. Maybe not. But I think this one was talking about was the seven cows that came in and ate the other cows, like the skinny cows that came, the really fattened cows, and devoured them. That was what Pharaoh's interpret dream was. And so Joseph, he interpreted it as to be 7 years of riches, right, for the Pharaoh in Egypt, and then 7 years of famine as well. So there'd be seven good ones and seven hard ones coming in. But good, that was really good, actually. It's really good. So the next question is, what happened to Joseph after he got Pharaoh's dream? So he explained the dream to Pharaoh. How did Pharaoh respond back? Do you all remember? Lincoln, you got it? You listened really good last week. That's me too. Me too. But he was raised up as a prince over Egypt. Remember, this was the guy that got thrown into jail and now is raised up. That's pretty cool. To a prince, yes. So real quick, I'm going to read some questions, then I'll read the scripture and we'll follow along with that. So the first question I want you to think about, even everyone listening online, listening today, where did Jacob send his sons? Just keep that in the back of your mind. Who did Jacob's sons meet when they got to Egypt? Okay, remember Jacob's sons? Do you remember Joseph had these brothers, right? Remember they sold him off to slavery? So he's talking about Jacob's sons, his brothers, which is Joseph's brothers, kind of family thing. And then what did Joseph tell his brothers they must do? So keep those in the back of your head. Where did Jacob send his sons? Where did Jacob's sons meet when they got to Egypt? And what did Joseph tell his brothers they must do? Okay. So everyone has their Bibles. Go ahead and open them. And we're going to go to Genesis 42. He needs his Bible, Mom. Is that what he said? So Genesis 42, we're going to go through verses 1 through 9, and then 15 and 16. Now, Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, and Jacob said to his sons, "Why are you staring at one another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some from us there so we may live and not die." Right? Because Jacob heard they have grain being stored over there. So he's saying his sons to go to Egypt to get some grain because we don't want to die. We need food. So he sends them over there. "Go down there and buy some for us there so we may live and not die." So 10 brothers of Joseph went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, "Lest any harm befall him." So the sons of Israel came to buy grain among those who were coming, for the famine was in the land of Canaan also. Remember, we talked about the 7 years of riches and the 7 years of famine. And at this point, you can see the famine was in the land of Canaan also. So not only Egypt, but also Canaan. That's why they were asking for food. Now, Joseph was one in power over the land because he became a prince, right? And he was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. So they're coming in. He sees their brothers and they're bowing down to the prince. Okay. And Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them. But he disguised himself to them and spoke to them harshly. Remember, because he got sold off, right? His brothers sold him into slavery. And he said to them, "Where have you come from?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." So they're just think he's the prince. But Joseph recognized his brothers, although they did not recognize him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he had about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to look at the nakedness of the land." Verse 15 and 16. "By this you will be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go from this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you that he may get your brother," which is Benjamin, "while you remain confined, that your words may be tested, whether there is truth in you. But if not, by the life of the Pharaoh, surely you are spies." So he's pretty harsh to his brothers. Now, let's go back to those three questions I said. Where did Jacob send his sons to? Does anyone? That's true. They did send him by food, but where did he send them? Remember, where was Joseph at? Huh? Well, he's in Egypt. Close. Yes, yeah, so he was in Egypt. So he sent his brothers to look for food because of the famine. And the only one that stayed behind was who? Benjamin. That's right. That's a good point. Who did Jacob's sons meet with when in Egypt? Well, sort of. It was Joseph, right? Because he was the prince. So Joseph, but they did not recognize him. And as Joseph had dreamed many years before, his 10 brothers bowed down to him. He had a dream about that, and his brothers didn't appreciate that. Now, what did Joseph tell his brothers they must do? Yes. Well, that's true too, but what was it after that? What did they have to do? They had to bring somebody back. Benjamin. Yeah, Benjamin's popular in this one. They must bring back their youngest brother, Benjamin, or they would be treated as spies. Pretty harsh, which was a very serious crime. Mm-hmm. That's right. So now, what I wanted to get through you is this main idea of all we've been reading today so far. The main idea I want to point at you guys today is through famine, God unfolded his gracious purposes for Joseph and his family. Okay? So through famine, God unfolded his gracious purposes for Joseph and his family. So the first 7 years of Joseph's rule in Egypt were years of plenty. Okay? Food was everywhere. There was more grain in Egypt than there was sand on the seashore. Pretty, that's a lot, right? We know how much sand is on the seashore. Can you guys count that? I can't. There's a lot. And Joseph worked very hard for a long time to store it up and get ready for famine. He was being pretty active. He heard, he knew what the dream said. He was going to store up the grain to prepare for the 7 years of famine. Okay? Because God said it would come, and he knows and trusts God. God doesn't break his promises or what he says, so he trusted and knew it was going to happen, just like Noah in the flood, right? He listened to God. He prepared for it. So just as Pharaoh had dreamed, God caused the rain to stop falling and the crops to stop growing in that 7 years. So the seven-year famine was beginning, and it began not only in Egypt but also in Canaan. Kind of interesting. So now it's also Canaan, hence why Jacob was sending his brothers to get food. So Joseph's father and brothers lived there. And Jacob and his sons were getting hungry. If they did not find food soon, they would die. And this was very serious because we're the family through which God would bless the world. Remember, Jacob's family, Christ was coming through that lineage. Okay? If they died, God's promises of salvation would die. It would be terrible. Now, Jacob sent his 10 oldest sons, okay, to Egypt in search for food. When they arrived, they met the prince of the land and bowed at his feet. It was their brother Joseph, and they had no idea. They thought he was just the prince, right? That's right. They did. They just bowed to him, but they didn't know it. So many years before, they had made fun of their brother's dreams that they would bow before him, right? He told his brother the dream. They made fun of him about the dream. And look, God's providence and his sovereignty, look where they're at right now, being humbled in front of his brother, who's now a prince, okay? But now they're there with their faces in the dust before Joseph. And is how mysterious are God's ways? He used a prison to make Joseph a prince, and then he used a famine to cause Joseph's brothers to bow down before Joseph. Truly, we look at how God reigns over even the dark and the painful things in our lives. So God was not only fulfilling his purposes for Joseph, but also using this situation to convict Joseph's brothers of their sin. Because remember, they mocked him, they sold him off to slavery, and look where he's at now. And as Joseph treated them harshly when they came in, accused them of being spies, which was a serious crime, said, and even locked them in prison, they sensed that this was God's judgment on them for their sin. But it was actually God's gracious way of leading them to repentance. We know in theme how Jacob had to be broken down to follow into Christ, to follow into God, right? God had to... Yeah, Joseph did. You're right. But that's the unique thing about how God does. He works with us. He molds us. He breaks us down so we can truly follow into him and obey him properly. So real quick, as we read all that, I got three questions for y'all today, okay? Got a little paper here. So as I read that, what would have happened to God's promise of salvation if Joseph's family died? Just think it out loud. What would happen if Jacob's family and Joseph's family died? Anything? Okay. Well, his promises would have failed, right? God had chosen Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then Jacob's 12 sons to be family through all the families of the earth would be blessed, right? Blessing the nations come through them. if they died in the famine, the promise would never be realized. And if they died, Jesus would never come. Terrible, terrible thing to hear, right? Now, how did God save Joseph's family from the famine? Anyone?
Yes.
Yeah. But they also raising up Joseph as a ruler of Egypt and giving him wisdom to prepare for the food, right? Because remember at the beginning, he was preparing to gather the grain for that 7 years of famine. He's being very, had wisdom in what God's shown him to prepare for that time. So he had wisdom to prepare for the food shortage, and God mysteriously used the betrayal of Joseph's brother, his brothers, to save his chosen family. Since Joseph would never have been in the Pharaoh's court had his brothers not sold into slavery. That's kind of neat. So what we thought was bad, God used for his good and brought him up as a prince now. One being in jail, now a prince. So how did God fulfill the dreams that he had given to Joseph? So those dreams that he given to Joseph, how did he fulfill them? All right, good. So he used a famine to cause Joseph's brothers to bow down before him in humble obedience. Okay, so through many years have passed, God was faithful to fulfill his purposes for Joseph, but in a way Joseph would have never imagined. All right, so we see how God worked in this. Though mysterious, truly it's a joy to see his sovereignty and control of every aspect in Scripture, and that's what we want to rely on today, okay? So let's praise God for his mysterious ways and pray for eyes to see that the way he works all things for the good of his people, right? He took care of him. The promises, the lineage, the splendor of Christ coming through the Old Testament to the New through that, that's what's really exciting to see. So appreciate y'all listening today. We'll go into prayer now. Father, we thank you for this time to worship you, to glorify you through the word, through the Scripture. I pray that the worship is pleasing to you, and only just by your grace that we're able to do that, Lord. As we go today, let the word be illuminated through the Holy Spirit and just guidance through Owen through the word as well today, Lord. And we thank you for this time, and in all praise to you, Lord. And it's in your name we pray, amen.